Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, one and all, and welcome back to another episode here at The Damage Report with me, John Arola, and joining us as always on Mondays, Francesca Fiorentini. Francesca, how's it going?
I'm great. I'm very thrown off by John Arola in a suit. For those of you who are listening, there's a suit happening.
It's not a suit. It's a sport coat, shirt, and tie. It's sweats below the waist, but I'm trying. You know, we're getting towards the midterms, and I don't know. Maybe I could take this seriously. I don't know. I want to mix it up.
There's a baby Yoda behind you.
Are you
Lest
implying?
Lest you forget.
Get you a host that can do both. That's what I say. No, just I'm mixing it up. I don't know. It's more than 2 years into the pandemic. So much is exactly the same day to day. If I want to wear a unicorn onesie, Daddy's wearing a unicorn onesie.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Not even a minute in the show referring to ourselves as Daddy. Let's do this.
No. Not me specifically. Any daddy. Any daddy that wants to. Zoom should be a unicorn onesie sort of place. We're having a bit of tech chaos here. I don't know how I'm going to get access to the dock that I need. Maybe the team can figure something out as we go. But I am very happy to have you all here because we have a lot that we're going to be talking about, including some fairly devastating audio coming out of Ukraine. We've got Ilhan Omar being attacked for absolute BS. That's always fun. Bad news for Alex Jones. That is legitimately actually fun. I'm not being sarcastic there. And a whole lot more besides. Francesca, I know you're excited.
Super excited. How much do I need to stall for you to get access to your doc here?
Oh no, you could stall for like 5 minutes. I don't know if that's gonna work. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna jump into it. And our first social break might be me doing tech work. So that's gonna be fun. So anyway, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna try to get that link that they just sent me. That's fun. And thank you everyone for being here. Hit the like button if you haven't already so that people know we're live, if you're on a platform that allows for that sort of thing. And if you wanna send us comments, tweets, super chats, all that, I'll respond as we go. But with all that said, let's jump into it with this.
Ти давай там українських баб насілуй, да, мені нічого не говори, понятно? Я сьогодні
обіцяю. Насілуй, ти тобі нічого не говорить?
Да, щоб я нічого не знала. А що?
Можна, да?
Да, розрішаю. Тільки предохраняйся.
So that is an excerpt from a call that was allegedly intercepted between a Russian soldier in Ukraine and his wife in Crimea. Secret Service of Ukraine says it intercepted the call. They're believed to be in their 20s, by the way, if it wasn't clear from their voice. It was coming out of the Kherson region of Ukraine. And in it, if you don't speak Russian, it was them joking about whether he would be allowed or in fact encouraged to rape Ukrainian women. With the joke being that it would be okay. She doesn't want to hear the details so long as he uses contraception. Now, we are, of course, assuming, but we will give you the caveat that that is what the Secret Service of Ukraine is saying. And the audio has now been relayed thanks to Radio Free Europe. So all the concerns that we've had from the very beginning of this conflict about the possibility of intentional or accidental elevation of propaganda on either side. All that said, Francesca, and we'll get into more on this. That's a hell of a conversation, whether they were technically joking or not.
I am so disgusted. I'm glad I skipped breakfast because that was the most heinous and disturbing audio. Look, we've seen a lot of images coming out of this war. We've seen a lot of homes. We've seen a lot of death. We've destroyed. We've seen a lot of death. We've seen mothers in the middle of labor being carried out of burning buildings. But the cavalier nature of two Russians talking about rape and is just beyond the pale. Like, this is a wife who's laughing about it. Clearly she's uncomfortable, but not uncomfortable to the point where she's gonna stop it or say, that's actually wrong. Maybe you shouldn't rape, honey. Oh no, no, that's fine. Of course, that comes with the territory when it comes to a war that is violating human rights since the beginning. And yeah, you know, these kinds of wars, and especially the way Russia does them, really makes you realize, like, yeah, there's a difference between military targets and just raping civilians. That's a pretty big difference in terms of the rules of engagement. So I don't know, I'm like gonna take a while to get over that. It's really disturbing, and it shows you the way that this war has been normalized and these violations have been normalized by Russian society.
Yeah. Yeah, just war crimes being committed literally every day in full public sight, being fully documented, and still the world seemingly incapable of stopping it from happening. So we're gonna give you details in just a sec about these individuals. I do want to play a little bit more audio. This is a journalist contacting both sides of this couple to try to get some information.
В Херсонской области еще сейчас со 108-м полком?
Нет, я в Севастополе.
А когда вы из Херсонской области вышли?
А кто это? Могу я поинтересоваться?
Я журналист. На днях был опубликован ваш телефонный разговор с женой, где она вам сказала, ты украинских баб там насилуй, да. Это вы на той записи?
Нет.
То есть я по поводу Романа, вашего мужа, звоню. Вы не подскажете, он уже из Херсонской области вернулся в Севастополь или он там еще?
Да, он в госпитале уже.
В госпитале? Его ранили, что ли?
Ну да, ранен.
В Херсоне?
Я не знаю, где он был ранен. Я знаю, что он сейчас в госпитале находится.
So if you're listening on the pod, that was initially him speaking with the soldier, who now says he is no longer in Kherson, he's been injured, then talking with the wife. And by the way, the soldier insists that he didn't say those things. Now the voices do sound very similar. That's not, you know, proof positive necessarily. Radio Free Europe says they identify the participants by linking social media accounts to telephone numbers that had been provided. Again, it's up to you whether you consider that to be evidence enough. And look, I don't discount the possibility that I don't know what happens inside of other relationships. For all I know, the soldier despises every bit of this and has no idea why he's there. And this is a wife who is terrified that her husband will die for a cause maybe she doesn't agree with, that is trying through incredibly twisted dark humor to work through their own issues with it. I don't know, that's for them to figure out or to make the case. What I do know is that whether they were serious or not, whether he participated in any of this, and by the way, that soldier has not been accused of rape, no charges have been filed against the couple. In terms of consequences, aside from social scorn, there aren't any yet. That said, as we'll get into, Francesca, rape is happening very commonly to a lot of women in Ukraine, which makes it, even as a joke, a difficult, touchy place, I think, for a non-professional to engage in. You're a professional comedian, so I think you can understand.
I'm not gonna make a joke out of this. Don't look at me now.
No, not you.
But
I'm saying you should.
Here's what I will say about that phone call. It felt, and I don't speak Russian, but it felt incredibly real. Meaning, and it starts off with her basically saying, so what, you get sent to Ukraine to rape? Kind of like in this incredulous, like, I thought you were there to insert propaganda, you know, talking point, liberate the Ukrainian people, help Russia, whatever it is. Like, but now you're going to rape? And then he basically matter of fact says, yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. And he's like, is that okay? And she's like, well, yeah, if you use protection, laughing the whole way. Once again, it's so uncomfortable. So like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's all a false flag, but that sounded real as hell.
It did feel that way. Again, we try probably needlessly, both because many times we have good reason to believe that something is true. Also, our detractors would never acknowledge that we provided caveats. So for those reasons, the caveats are probably unnecessary. But from the very beginning, we've been trying to be very responsible with providing that. In war, hell, outside of war, in politics, people lie. Even people we agree with. There is no direct evidence that this is an example of that, but we always want to provide those caveats. That said, let's get into the facts. About 25 girls and women aged 14 to 24 were systematically raped during the occupation in the basement of just one house in Buka. So that is one house in one assault across a short period of time in a war that's been going on for more than 50 days across most of a country. A 31-year-old woman in a village in the Kharkiv region said that she was raped at gunpoint multiple times by a soldier who entered the school where her family was sheltering. Another woman, age 33, says that she was raped after Russian soldiers killed her husband. I think I remember the specifics of that case, and it's absolutely devastating. And a Ukrainian member of parliament told CBS News that rape is happening systematically in areas being occupied by the Russians. In fact, there was prior reporting that in one area, women are, young girls, in fact, are cutting their hair to try to be less attractive to avoid being raped by Russian soldiers. Obviously, every bit of this absolutely just the most uncomfortable, disgusting stuff. On top of the, you know, the mass killing of civilians, the mining of dead bodies, the use of weapons that are supposed to be banned, from cluster munitions to fletchet spreaders, and like all sorts of weapons that are not supposed to be being used in the first place. You also have this, which, look, I don't know if this is just the normal horrors of war that should be a reminder of why we should do everything we can to avoid these sorts of situations, or if this is being persecuted as some sort of tactic in a apparently foolhardy attempt to break the will of the Ukrainians. It seems, if that's the case, to be having the opposite effect. Francesca.
I mean, yeah, all war is pointless. That's my, I mean, look, I'm a peace loving lefty. Like, you're never gonna get me to, like, my heroes were all war resistors. Sorry. Even World War One, World War Two, even, you know? And that was supposed to be the righteous war. So I'm always gonna stand on the side of diplomacy and peace before this. And of course, we all have seen the pictures out of Abu Ghraib. We know what the American soldiers did systematically to soldiers who were so-called terrorists, which included things like rape. But this, again, you let us not desensitize ourselves. That's all I'm gonna say. We cannot desensitize ourselves. This is the year 2022. Not only should we be beyond warfare in and of itself, but absolutely the awful ways and these war crimes and the human rights of violations that don't always necessarily have to accompany what is already such a pig-headed endeavor.
Exactly. Yeah, by the way, and it ties into the allegations that there's certainly an element of attempted genocide here, not just in the killing, but the moving away of populations, the abduction of children, and now apparently the systematic rape of women. These are the sorts of things that are done when you are trying to wipe out a population. So bear that in mind. Also, in terms of the wiping out of population, we have to turn to some of the bad news recently, and that might get even worse soon. And that is the siege of Mariupol, which has been sort of a constant from the very beginning of this conflict. They have been holding out impossibly long in Mariupol. But now the Russian Defense Ministry, they released a statement giving Ukrainian troops there a deadline to surrender, saying surrender and live. That timeline has now passed. They did not surrender. They are continuing to defend the city. It's been fully surrounded by weeks, hit continuously by shelling and slowly advancing ground troops. Survivors who've left the city have repeatedly described it as a hell on earth, deprived of food, water, and heating. Many are saying that mass starvation is happening right now there. Its mayor said 21,000 people had been killed just in Mariupol, and that their bodies were carpeted through the streets, which one might expect considering the mass long-range bombardment that has gone on for weeks and weeks at this point. According to the defenders, a steel works is being used as sort of the center point of a last stand by the Ukrainian resistance. And Zelensky says that Russia is deliberately trying to destroy everyone who is in the city. Like, that if they can't take it, they will kill as many people as possible and destroy as much of the city as possible. Through the course of, you know, going on 50 days, a lot there, you can do a lot of destruction, and that is what we're seeing, especially in Mariupol.
Yeah. This is, I mean, it's incredible, right? You're like, what is the end game here? The end game is to rule over a pile of ashes, but not even rule? Like, there aren't even enough soldiers or people or like plans to actually like, what are you gonna do? You know, you want Ukraine back? Look at the state that you put it in, right? There, and so these are the actions of a total madman. And I do not know what the way out is, but you're absolutely right that this is also incredibly desperate. It's like, yeah, there's no long game. The game is cause as much destruction and death as possible.
Yeah. By the way, remember, one of the arguments for why they had to do this was to save the people in Ukraine, to help the people in Ukraine. This is a hell of a way to do it. And by the way, similar arguments have been used to justify many invasions, and the results have been not necessarily exactly the same, but largely the same over a long period of time. So when you hear those sorts of arguments about liberating people and saving people, grains of salt on that too. Now that said, we're gonna transition into a very different topic. Tonally, it's going to be very different. I'm going to read just a couple of comments because I hate these sorts of transitions. Thank you to all of you who are watching. Again, if you haven't already hit the like button, it lets people know that the stream is live so they get the notifications. So that'd be much appreciated. And thank you to our members, including Andrew Glissman, who just became a member on YouTube. We appreciate you for being here. Ryan Howard sent you a super chat to say, will this fantastic Monday make up for there not being a bish last night? We'll see. So apparently they were feeling the absence of the bituation room last night. You have a lot of splaining to do.
I had to skip the bituation room, but everybody go back and listen to episodes you haven't listened to or watch back episodes that you haven't seen. And I'll be back this coming Sunday. I had to take the day off.
Nice.
Hang with my mom, you know, and just like celebrating the, you know, zombie Jesus or whatever.
Yeah, makes sense to me. It's nice to relax on the weekend. I took a little walk on the beach with my wife and our dogs. It was nice. It was nice. Anyway, here's something that's not so nice. We're gonna start off with a bit of fun though, with this. So you remember them? Well, they were actually Brett Ehrlich's garbage people of the week last week. But those are some, I'm gonna say, missionaries, professional or amateur, serenading a plane that is now alleged to have been traveling to Germany with religious songs. Now, a lot of people felt like that seems unnecessary or going a bit far. Only one is really being attacked a ton for their commentary, and that would be Ilhan Omar. Now, she tweeted the video with the message, I think my family and I should have a prayer session next time I'm on a plane. How do you think it will end? Which, that's a fairly benign statement. It's not saying anything specific about the people who are singing there, the passengers, or anyone. It's simply saying, do you think that there might be a bit of hypocrisy in what's allowed and what's not? And as you're gonna see, she has been dragged over that benign statement. But first, Francesca, I know you weren't here for when we initially covered this last Friday. What do you make about this?
No. That's violence. I mean, that is absolute. Like, to Germany? Wait, that's a 7-hour flight? Where are we going from? Like, my God, that better be. No. I'm terrified of that as well. And like, no one's wearing masks, already upsetting. Just like, focus on the pretty clouds. You know, you'll get through this. That being said, the most religious I ever am is when I fly. So I do have a little bit of, but like any religion, like I'm super open. Like any religion, I will pray to your God if we land safely. But Ilhan Omar's comment is so spot on. If someone got down and started praying on a prayer rug in the aisle, what do you think would happen? An emergency landing accusing that person of terrorism. And we would never hear the end of it. But what happens? Christian dude with a guitar comes out and everyone just kind of rolls their eyes and like, okay. You know, and then we get back to screaming about Sharia law and how like Christians are under attack. Please.
That's what we're getting. And I want to be clear, my criticism on Friday of this, I might have mentioned the religious thing. Mostly it was for me. The religion thing isn't the part that bothers me. It's the singing. I don't want you to do, you know, a John Mayer cover. I don't want you to. Again, the world is not your stage. If you want to go on a stage, you can go on a stage. There are, you know, open mics for that. That was my problem. There is, of course, also the religious hypocrisy. But as I said, she was attacked. Vernon Jones, a Democrat turned Republican politician, supporter of Donald Trump, slammed her saying, "Why do you hate Christians, Ilhan?" Another Minnesota candidate, Royce White, told Omar not to disrespect Christianity and warned the Democrats you serve don't believe in God, which is ridiculous. Plenty of Democrats are, for better or worse, devoted Christians. Okay, why do you hate Christians? Don't disrespect Christianity. I understand it's going to take a while, but I'm going to reread the entirety of her message. "I think my family and I should have a prayer session next time I am on a plane. How do you think it will end?" There is not a word attacking Christianity, disrespecting Christianity, attacking those individuals. All it was pointing out a hypocrisy while staying at arm's reach with the people in the video. But Cicely Davis, is a candidate in the GOP primary in Minnesota, said that Islamic prayers on a plane were no problem and claimed the issue is you hate Christians and Jews and lots of Muslims.
Sure.
So first of all, ain't no chance Cicely Davis wouldn't have a problem if they were there. But whatever, she can say that. The idea that Ilhan hates Christians, okay, they'll say that. Jews too, exactly. They don't care with Marjorie Greene with all the anti-Semitism. They pretend to care about it for Ilhan Omar. And she also hates Muslims. But I'm white, to quote Joe Bluth. Like, she's a Muslim. You jump in.
No, I was just gonna say, like, we are obviously years out of 9/11, but the experience of flying while being Muslim or Arab or even just dark skin and looking Muslim or Arab is still ongoing. The amount of Islamophobia, xenophobia, and racism that people experience, whether it is so-called random checks, which are not random, whether it's still being on the like a no-fly list because your name happened to sound like one of the cousins of the father's drivers of Osama bin Laden one time, you know, like this still continues, to say nothing of, let's say, if you wear hijab and the amount of stares and looks. I was once on a plane, a white guy gets up and follows a South Asian man around the plane and asks him, "Hey, how come you don't have bags? I saw you didn't have any bags." Basically is accusing him of being a hijacker, freaks out. I said nothing. Well, and afterwards we're at like the baggage carousel and went up to him and was like, "What was that? What the hell was that?" This was years and years ago. And a guy was like, "I don't know, I was just having a moment." Like, "Oh, really? Your little moment." I mean, these things happen all the time. You can call it microaggressions, I call them macroaggressions.
Yeah.
The kind of racism that people of color experience while flying, especially Muslims, is insane.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, while flying, while serving in Congress.
Yes.
There's a lot.
No, anything.
A couple more. I'm gonna jump ahead to Matt Walsh. Says Ilhan Omar was born in the hellhole of Somalia. Her family fled that wasteland and sought refuge in America. They were welcomed here, and Ilhan soon became one of the most influential politicians in the country. And yet she despises the country that took her in. Ungrateful brat.
Jesus.
Which is like, it's this delicious like chowder of racism and misogyny at the same exact time. It's like in a very fake manner, playing up how influential she is in the Democratic Party so that the conservatives reading the tweet will be more scared of her. Oh my God, she's the most influential. No, she's great. It's the Democratic Party though, so they've given her very little power. So let's just be realistic about that. She despises the country that took her in. I don't know, you guys thought that America needed to be made great again, because apparently it sucked so hard before Trump became president. Again, this is absolute BS. The idea that you can both like and appreciate a country and identify its flaws and work towards it being improved is not just a hypothetical, it's like the foundational reason you have a government.
Mm-hmm.
It is to keep things working and to improve them where that's possible. That shouldn't have to be explained to a guy whose literal job is to opine on politics and news, but apparently Matt Walsh can't reach even that low bar. There's more. I think that's enough. Ilhan Omar made a very good point. Everyone else can find themselves in the future stuck on a plane listening to a performance like that. Anyway, with all that said, we're gonna take our first break, respond to some of your comments. When we come back, Tucker Carlson's got a new documentary coming up, and there ain't no way you predicted it would look like this. We'll be back in a minute. Okay, everybody, let's have a little bit of fun starting with this.
Once a society collapses, then you're in hard times. Well, hard iron sharpens iron, as they say, and those hard times inevitably produce men who are tough, men who are resourceful, men who are strong enough to survive. And then they go on to reestablish order, and so the cycle begins again.
So that is The End of Men, coming sooner from Tucker Carlson. The End of Men is the title that they landed on. They were running with Finishing Off Men, but they figured that's a bit too on the nose.
Yeah, so yeah.
The End of Men, which Ending talks men. About exactly, it is the need for strong men. And what is a strong man? Well, a strong man is a guy who like takes weird baths and suntans his scrot, I guess, Francesca, I guess. Strong men are ones with really tan sacks, I suppose. What do you think?
And drinks raw eggs. That's what those are, like Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. And why can't we just like get back to that? But Disney's canceled. Thing.
You're not supposed to drink. Like, we've learned things about nutrition in the last 40 years. That's so purposefully a throwback.
Nah,
they know that's not healthy.
Salmonella's for bitches, man. You like a real man? Real men don't get salmonella. I'm made of salmonella.
Oh my God. Anyway, look, it's a documentary about the total collapse of testosterone levels in men, which has been noted in medical studies. That's a thing. not a collapse, but a lowering. That's been attributed to an aging population and other comorbidities. It is not a thing. Look, I'm gonna try to get through.
Well, they love comorbidities. John, that's their favorite thing to talk about is comorbidities.
That is true, and it has consequences. If you are one of the guys who is now considering, I don't know, just like cranking the microwave and like fanning your crotch at it, this is not actually the answer. None of this that's gonna be in that documentary is the answer. Wokeness doesn't lower hormone levels in your body. That's not how that actually works. If you're worried about things that could be affecting your health, worry about microplastics and things like that. Worry about high levels of environmental toxins. Those exist, but you don't get rid of them by limiting CRT. That's all I'm saying. Maybe I'm not an expert, but I'll guarantee this. I'm just as expert as anyone they're gonna put into that documentary.
Okay, this has been pointed out very crassly online multiple times, but I do wanna say the right's position is supposedly that the left and I don't know, Disney, M&M's, whomever, is if like making men effeminate and turning them gay. And I just gotta point out, you can't watch that trailer and not see how homoerotic it is. Like, it is just, it's just, come on.
No, come on. It's at worst bromoerotic.
It is bromoerotic. That's all it is. And also, what is he doing? When I first saw the charging,
his nuts. That's what he's doing.
So okay, apparently he's tanning his testicles, which is literally the last thing that I could imagine. First, it looks like a giant COVID test. It looks like he's putting his junk up to a COVID test and being like, "Is it positive?" You know, that's what it looks like. Number one. Then I'm like, "Is he charging himself like a Tesla? Is that the future? What are we doing here?" And then come to find out, testicle tanning is trending all over Twitter because that's what he's doing. John Iderola, have you partaken?
Have I in the testicle? Have I put the D in DC fast charging? No, I have not actually done that. You know, I gotta say too, like you're pointing out, that's not where my criticism of this is gonna lie, but a lot of people are pointing out that the imagery is interesting for a movement that focuses so much on demonizing the LGBTQ community.
Yes.
They have, as a general policy, up until like today, demonized any man who like maintained his body hair, cared yes. about his appearance. Then they jump immediately to, no, that's not good enough. Generalized skin cancer is not good enough. You need to pump your testicles full of cancer directly at the source.
That'll increase the testosterone. It's yeah. like, you know, it's like taking a bunch of iPhones and just strapping them around your balls and walking around and then tweeting from them all day long. You know, real men stuff that helps with the sperm count. What?
Yeah, I gotta read some of the responses. Nikki Ramirez, who I think did more than anyone in making this go viral, yeah. says men will literally put their balls in a toaster instead of going to therapy. I love it. Justin says Tucker would get arrested if he showed this video in a Florida classroom. Great point. It's so needlessly sexual. George Takei says this is so gay. That's George's opinion. That's not my opinion. Anyway, I do want to give Tucker a chance to make the case here. He is promoting this documentary.
One of the biggest stories of our lifetimes is the total collapse in testosterone levels in American men. Those levels are declining by roughly 10% per decade, completely changing the way people are at the most fundamental level. NIH does not seem interested in this at all. It's not a big deal. We think it is a huge deal. So we want to know what's causing it and what you can do about it. That's the topic of our upcoming documentary called The End of Men.
Okay, so first of all, to be clear, yes, scientists are very much looking into this and many other long-term changes across the world population due to a number of different toxins. So again, where he doesn't continually inspire suspicion and fear of expertise, he just ignores that it actually exists because he doesn't want to bring on the scientists. He doesn't want to talk about perhaps no. regulations of industries that are polluting the environment and leading to this. No, instead he wants you to drink more monkey bone broth. So he's going to bring on people who previously would have only had a platform on InfoWars. He instead is going to platform them on Fox News and tell you that that being a man fundamentally isn't about some sort of inner strength or understanding or mental wellness or whatever. It's about a tan scrot, nothing more. I want to throw a question out to the audience though. Like, if you're a conservative and you are excited about this and you're like, yes, finally, they're focusing on us men. Do you believe that Tucker Carlson has ever or will ever do any of the things that he just profiled in that? Do you think that he's obsessed with getting some UV rays on his lower body? Do you think he's doing the ice bath? Do you think he's flipping truck tires? Do you think he's doing any of that? No, no, you are being conned. How can you not see this? These are incredibly wealthy people who understand they've identified the fears that you have deep inside of you, and they are playing you for money and clout. It's as simple as that.
With Princess very, me. Very pale testicles. Just the palest.
Oh my God,
the
so
whitest
pale.
Of the white, so just the face of the moon.
That's all it is. No. Maybe there's a bow tie on it. Other than that, there's yes. nothing. There's no imperfections. There's no, it's never seen the sun.
No, you're exactly right. Like, none of it is going to be at all scientific. Look at that. Look at that entire montage. The cow udder, the moving of the tire. It's not going to be scientific. You're totally right. What are they going to say? Like, my question is, what's the correlation they're going to draw? They're like, well, you know, ever since women were able to vote, we can trace the decline of the testosterone. And here is when birth control became widely used. And then, you know, like, and then when women stopped, you know, just relying, being in the kitchen and they stopped having kids, like, they wanna bet it's going to all be about women's rights and how that somehow correlates with yeah. men losing. It's not gonna be about like, oh yeah, yeah, the rise of using plastic in literally everything that might have something to do with that, which 100%. Honestly, I care about for health reasons generally, a lot of cancerous and other awful things and things that we put in our body, but not on some like weirdo misogynistic, this is totally. What's making people gay tip. So I just, but then again, we could all arrive at the same problem, which would be giant corporations getting away with poisoning people, but like they're not gonna actually do that or even advocate regulation to yeah. rein any of that in. I can't believe we're taking this seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I speak for yourself. I'm not taking, I mean, he's a serious threat. I'll give you that. Also, I'll give you a call to action. If you are a conservative man or even a liberal man, and you are fundamentally continually terrified about whether you're alpha enough and whether you're strong enough, I would say as a starting point, being terrified of everything around you is hardly a position of strength as a man. His business plan is to make you terrified constantly of everything, to leave you a sniveling, shivering mess of a man. That's what his business is. So if you'd like just to be like a stronger man, change the channel, honestly. We do have to move on to other material, though it is related since they effectively are the same person now. Tucker Carlson has just stolen this guy's entire thing, but we're gonna start with this.
Of those people admit that they have been influenced by InfoWars massively. They will tell you it's one of the main influences. Tucker Carlson's told me that face to face.
Yeah, well, and whether Tucker Carlson admits it or not, he definitely has stolen Alex Jones's whole shtick. And he now might be the only place that you can find it. You might have to watch Tucker Carlson because Alex Jones is facing some tough times. In fact, InfoWars, as well as two other companies owned by Alex Jones, have now declared bankruptcy. They put in these filings. They estimate liabilities of $10 million for each one potentially. But anyway, they're owned, of course, by Alex Jones. He's in the process of not only filing bankruptcy, but dealing with potential large settlements that'll have to be made after a string of lawsuits brought against him by the families of Sandy Hook shooting victims. If you somehow don't know, the lawsuits stem from claims that Jones made that the Sandy Hook school shooting, which resulted in 28 deaths, including the perpetrator and his mother, was a hoax. Remember, there's a lot of normalization of conspiracy theorists going on, including Alex Jones. After all, Donald Trump, after all of this, goes on and says that you have a sterling reputation. He said that all of the families of those kids who were killed were lying about it. And he dispatched his crazed audience to hound them out of multiple homes, having to move time and again because of what Alex Jones told them was true. Well, then there were lawsuits, and now InfoWars, Prison Planet TV, and IW Health, because remember, he's considered a health expert too, filed for protection under Chapter 11. They say their liabilities range from $1 to $10 million, assets between $0 to $50,000. Huh. Now, I want you to bear in mind when they say their assets are $0 to $50,000. By the way, the refrigeration facilities in the InfoWars studios, just specifically for pulled pork, have got to be worth more than $50,000. So I'm not believing any of that. He made $165 million in just 3 years selling monkey brain paste and survival seeds and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Stuff you're supposed to drink for your brain and inject in your nuts. And so the idea that he only has $50,000, Francesca, that's a convenient little myth there.
That's so cute. I love that we went from talking about tanning testicles to like an actual just giant tan scrot right there. There he is. That's all he is. And like, it's so funny because this is someone who's railed against the government for years, built their brand on everyone is lying to you. This government is number one liars, turning the frogs gay, etc. And yet, how cute that we're relying on the government when we get into financial hot water. Everyone's a libertarian until you get sued out of existence. And then suddenly, oh no, I can't handle it anymore. Good thing there's something called Chapter 11 and I can just shunt this entire burden onto the government. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, Donald Trump has run this playbook many, many times. Again, how do you bankrupt a casino? We still don't know. But like this, it is a loophole for people, for corrupt people to get out of jail free effectively. My hat goes off and my heart goes out to the families of the victims of Sandy Hook and so many other victims of Alex Jones's hateful rhetoric and people who've been trolled and hounded for years and years and years. They should be celebrating today as we all should be celebrating. Yeah.
100%. And look, there are plenty of legitimate times for individuals or businesses to declare bankruptcy. That can make sense. The issue is when you are doing it while facing allegations from the families that you, prior to doing that, moved tons of money into other shell corporations that might not be able to be directly accessed. When you lie about your liabilities and your assets, that's when bankruptcy becomes a loophole, and that is what he is alleged to be doing. The fact that he made all this money implies that there might be a case there. Anyway, he's just trying to get out of money, out of paying them. He already had one scam that he tried to run where he offered them $120,000 each, which they all rejected, believing that they are deserved for more, because not only for the damages they faced, and I cannot even like nobody can imagine the emotional trauma of following up an already unimaginable incident where you lose your child in a mass shooting, but then that was just one day. Every day gets to be hell thanks to Alex Jones, but it's also that he made this money by doing this stuff. This wasn't a sideshow. This was his stock and trade, spreading baseless conspiracy theories that he knows are not true to get, like, there's people with some issues who wanna believe crazy things, and they have always been able to find a home there. And then once he's got his claws in them, selling them insane things through his shop. That has been his business. He has become insanely unfairly wealthy off of this. And if this breaks him, that is just cosmic justice. That's all that is. And he should not be able to hide behind these sham shell corporations.
And it could get rejected, right? A judge could reject that filing for bankruptcy. So we shall see.
Yeah.
And I hope they do. And we're doing cursory research into how much he actually did make. Where did it all go? We know about the shell companies. So I assume that any judge doing their due diligence and reviewing this bankruptcy filing will find the same.
Yeah, well, we'll see. In any event, we're gonna take our second break. When we come back, Florida back on the banning books train. This time, the math department. We'll have the details for you after this. Let's jump into some new news. Right wingers have become massive fans of banning books, especially books for your kids, school books. They don't like the teaching of like history and things like that. But did you know they're starting to ban math books too? The Florida Department of Education announced it's rejected dozens of them, in fact, by different publishers, saying they, quote, contained prohibited topics, including critical race theory. And I've always thought that nothing says an ideological concrete commitment to free speech like having a list of prohibited topics that books can't cover.
Mm-hmm.
They rejected 41% of the math books that were presented to them, which is pretty amazing when the topic is math. They put out this news release saying that they had failed to comply with the state's content standards. They said 21% were specifically disallowed because they incorporate prohibited topics or unsolicited strategies, including CRT. There were an additional 11 books that it sounds like they're just being banned for CRT too, but they found a different way to spin it that makes it seem as if like this whole thing wasn't just about their insane extrapolation of what their worried CRT means. Francesca, what do you think?
I'm just, my mind is just spinning with what could have possibly triggered the snowflakes in Florida about these math books, right? Like what kind of problems are we doing? Was it, my guess it was something, I'm sure it was like, if the United States paid reparations to 10% of its population, how much money would each African-American receive in the, like I'm sure it was all about that. We're just calculating future reparations. No, what it was probably like, Jamal has a basket of marbles. And it's like, Jamal.
Jamal.
Or it was like, or it's like, Fatima wants to go to the store, but she only has five. Fatima, like it was totally just the inclusivity. Yeah. Of like names that could be people of color. Mark my words, that's all it was.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get to the very limited examples of this because hey, what do you know? They're not very forthcoming with what was supposedly CRT. I'm going to challenge you to expand your mind just slightly. So it is one thing to grapple with, well, how did they think that something in a math book qualifies as critical race theory? And then you jump to, wait, 41% were canceled for that? Oh my God, they must have a really expansive idea of what's CRT. I have an alternate hypothesis. I don't think they have to think there's any CRT in these books. Because here's the thing, having press releases saying that you've banned a bunch of math books over CRT is its own goal. You don't have to actually stop the CRT. Your fans want to see you freaking out about it. And they will just accept that there was CRT in it. They're not gonna check. They're not checking the numbers on this. They're very worried, and you desperately want to keep them worried. So you have a direct ideological incentive to just pretend there's CRT in them and ban them. Nobody's gonna check you, so there's no risk, and it will keep your base terrified. It'll make them question even more topics.
And
there's
dumb.
No expertise. What's up?
Oh, I mean, and meanwhile, dumb. Kids won't Definitely. Learn math. So like win-win.
Exactly. Look, Ron DeSantis says, this is the press release. Florida rejects publishers' attempts to indoctrinate students. Okay, well, we're gonna see whether they were indoctrinating. Ron DeSantis says, it seems that some publishers attempted to slap a coat of paint on an old house built on the foundation of Common Core and indoctrinating concepts like race essentialism, especially bizarrely for elementary school students. Well, that sounds like an honest guy. I think he's just, he's calling the balls and strikes as he sees them. He doesn't have any sort of direct interest, any sort of medium term political aspirations towards the presidency. He's just telling it like it is. Anyway, if we could jump to the examples, we're gonna go to these Christina Pushaw, his press secretary. Here are the examples. Angelou, this is Maya Angelou, was sexually abused by her mother's blank at age 8, which shaped her career choices and motivations for writing. So there's equations, and then what is obviously a reading comprehension quiz, just to make sure that you read the section. Is that critical race theory? I don't see how it is. There's nothing about structural racism there. There's nothing about reparations, or there's nothing political there. It is, do you remember a fact that was presented to you about a notable famous American? Francesca, am I missing something? Did I miss the CRTs?
Well, okay, I have a problem with this homework assignment generally, because it's combining reading and math, and someone who's real bad at math. I mean, like, maybe I missed out, maybe I needed more of this, but I'm just like, wait a minute, I could have just do the reading comprehension. I don't even have to do the algebra. But so I'm a little bit like, there's mixed messages. I'm like, which one do you want me to learn? So yeah. That put that aside. But that being said, yeah, it's Maya Angelou. It's based on her book, I Know Why the Caged Birds Sing. It's been, it's award-winning, acclaimed, celebrated, and of course now illegal in, I don't know how, 12 states probably.
Exactly.
But yeah, it took me a while to understand how this was offensive, and I still don't get it. I'm just offended by the fact that like they're using algebra to do reading comprehension, and I'm like, pick one.
She sent two examples. That's how they rejected dozens of books, is for those two examples. No, they don't care. They don't care. And look, if you still believe that this is either seriously needed or that these people are being honest, like, do you not get the movement you're a part of? Like, there's a very real chance that in the next year, you will participate in a political rally about the need for free speech and opposing cancel culture that will be lit by a massive pile of burning books. And if you don't see the hypocrisy, the inconsistency, the lack of logic there, well, then you just might be a Republican voter. We do have to move on to our last topic of the hour. Are we not doing it? You don't think we should? We have 3.5 minutes. Don't we have 3.5 minutes? We have 3.5 minutes. Let's jump into this.
Everyone here uses the CDC statistics as a credible source.
They don't use it as a credible source. Go find me one single person here that believes the CDC numbers are actual.
So these are anti-vaxxers that have presented a challenge to Walter Masterson on TikTok, who does some great work. Find me one person here who believes the CDC. Well, it turns out he was up to the challenge. Take a look at this.
Where can people go to verify the numbers on your son?
You can go to the VAERS database. You can go to the CDC website. Like, people just don't look at the information, but on the CDC website, and here's the URL if you want to.
You get all your information from the CDC website, but you don't believe the CDC.
What you need to understand is there's a difference between numbers being reported and policy.
But you believe the numbers they report?
No, underreported. A lot of these numbers are manufactured.
Well, where are the real numbers?
First of all, you're not going to find it at the CDC. You can find it, listen.
You just told me to go to the CDC website.
That's what
they do. Tell the truth on the CDC website. It's the mainstream media that's manipulating it.
But we can trust the CDC?
No.
Well, that's clear. So I think Francesca, I get what they're trying to do there, but that was great work by Walter by pointing out the lack of logic. What do you think?
I'm not even sure which numbers they think they sometimes do rely on. But again, this is what conservatives do all the time, which is cherry pick the numbers that affirm their own pre-existing bias rather than reporting on the complexity. I'm sure the CDC does list things like, again, comorbidities, which they love to blame for true COVID deaths, whereas the rest of us don't, because we understand people with comorbidities are also not dying. So like, do you know what I mean? Like, we understand correlation. So they just take the numbers and then apply their like weird fuzzy logic and math on top of it. And that's why they hate anyone who's trying to interpret numbers for them, because they're like, nah, you got to read them backwards. They don't read them backwards to you on mainstream media.
Exactly. You got to read it in a mirror. So where do they learn this from? Well, they learned Tucker Carlson just said last week that Dr. Fauci should be investigated, that he started COVID. So there's a lot of reasons that these people are confused. But you also have to bear in mind, it is goal oriented. These people, for all their talk about doing the research, did not do the research and then come to conclusions. They had conclusions. They looked for stuff that they, in their scientific illiteracy, think might contribute to it. But look, I think that there's a level of consistency there. I don't think they believe any of this, but they think that citing the CDC, they have a vague idea that that makes them sound more reputable. And I think that's what they're running with. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have at our first hour. Thank you to everyone who's been listening. We got more coming up after this break. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Iderola. I'll see you soon.